Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome everyone to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
Dude, that's catching on. Like, I do some guest spots, and everybody tries to do the tongue roll. And
why don't you go ahead and give that podcast a plug? Which podcast was it?
It was the FF Fantasy Football Breakdown.
Yeah, shout out to those guys. It's a pretty good listen.
So. To Drink, Shane, good guys. It was fun. It was I did it on my lunch break at school. So if you listen to it, you can hear the announcements go off, like there's a little ding in the background. Yeah, I got in trouble. Call to the principal's office.
Before we plug anybody else too much, we should remind everybody we're brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And if you want to be on the show or connect with Matt and I, yeah, the way to do it is to go ahead and check us out on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. We are also at Facebook at Dynasty Dads and email. Yeah, we have an email. You heard that right. DynastyDads@gmail.com. All right, Matt. Well, do you have any family stories? Anything big happening?
Yeah, man. You got your oldest is much older than my two. Mm-hmm. But this week, I mean, a few times, there was just different times in the week where I was like, my kids are growing up. Like, they're not toddlers anymore. Like, I carried on full-fledged conversations and I'm like, what is happening? Like, just one of those, like, man, enjoy the time that you've got with your kids when they're in whatever stage they're in, because it's gone in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'm carrying on breakfast conversations with my 3 and 2 year old, and it felt like yesterday I was feeding them, and it was just weird. Just one of those weeks where I was like, man, time goes fast.
Yeah, there's days where you feel that way, you know, but it's that's the beauty of it. It's, you only get one shot at it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just changes every day and every month and every year, and it's fun to look back at that stuff.
But then you can just restart and have a new baby.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
I mean, I know somebody that did that.
Mm.
No?
Well, yeah, we're done. We're done over here in the Williams household, I'll tell you that much.
I can't say that's the case for us.
Well, as for...
Yeah, what's yours? Sorry, I went sentimental. What's your story?
No, it's cool. We had one of the boys' cousins had a birthday party at a pumpkin patch locally.
Yeah.
And they had some kind of contest where there was one small pumpkin in the pumpkin patch that was spray painted gold.
Nice.
Yeah.
And like Willy Wonka.
Kinda, yeah. And that's, I mean...
like Michael Scott.
It's hard enough to find a good pumpkin in a pumpkin patch. You know what I mean? You got to look around a little bit. You just have to find one. And to find a golden one, I mean, that's more difficult, is it not? Especially one?
It's golden?
It's like, golden.
In a field of green and brown, I would assume? No, it's not that hard to find.
In a field of, like, yellow. You know what I mean? Yellow and orange and all sorts of tints.
So I'm guessing you didn't find it.
With a bunch of kids. And, well, I had to leave because I had to go do something for work. But Emily took a picture and sent it over. My boy, he found the golden pumpkin.
Oh, did he?
And she's like, dude, look at this. He found it. And I'm like, oh, cool. What'd he win?
The golden pumpkin?
A donut.
Shut up.
You get a donut.
Wowzers.
It's like, what? What is this?
A donut?
What is this? Anyways. Then as for the girl, I thought that was funny.
A donut. So like Eli Manning's fantasy production.
Yeah, pretty much. And then the girl is, she has my confidence, Matt. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The wife sent me a picture or a video over today, and she goes, are you cute? And she goes, yes. And she goes, are you smart? Yes. So if you ask her any of those kind of questions, she knows the answer. It's an immediate yes.
No matter what you ask her, or just specific questions?
If you ask her things about herself, it's usually a pretty positive yes. She knows smart. She knows funny. She knows pretty.
She knows how to say hum.
Hum. Which, that's the running joke for the last couple weeks. Carly, you want ham? Hum. Too bad. Just wanted to hear you say it. Matt, we're going to do news and notes. We're going to update everybody on our
Hot tickets.
We're going to do your Renshaw Renegades.
That's right.
And then we're going to let everybody know where they can find the Wager of the Week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, then let's get it. Let's see. Titans coach Mike Vrabel actually said this team, his team will decide on its starting quarterback this week. Any demotion that was long overdue. Marcus Mariota was benched for Ryan Tannehill midway through Sunday's loss to Denver. Mariota was the second overall pick in 2015. Hey, the Titans have dropped four of their last five heading into their Week 7 matchup with the Chargers. Matt, I have to ask, does this do anything for you, like, fantasy-wise? Are you bumping anybody up, knocking anybody down?
No.
Okay, just...
No, no, does nothing.
I mean, Tennessee's kind of a stay away unless you're Derrick Henry, right? I mean, you can't trust any of those guys week
to
week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was trying to think of... No. A.J. Brown, no. Never been a big Corey Davis guy.
No, you have not. No.
That's been noted here on the podcast for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Davis or Sammy Watkins?
Corey Davis.
Yeah, that's... yeah, I'd probably go with Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's hard. So no one gets a bump from me. Maybe Tannehill. Tannehill gets a bump because he's going to produce more than zero. Right?
You would... Well, I mean, yeah. But it's not going to be anything.
No, you're not going to start. Superflex, though. He's probably an option in Superflex leagues.
Saquon Barkley practiced again Monday. So did Evan Ingram. According to SNY's Ralph Fasciano,
probably.
Both have at least a chance to return when the Giants host Arizona this week. Over the weekend, Barkley tweeted a hype video captioned, "I'll be back."
Soon. I'll be back soon.
Yeah, man. Implying he's on the final stages of his recovery from a high ankle sprain. New York dropped Jonathan Hillman Friday, another sign the Giants are expecting Saquon back this week. Matt, I have to know, Saquon Barkley is an auto start if he's active.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, did you get him anywhere? Like, did anybody panic sell in leagues where you've...
No.
Really?
No. I didn't. In leagues I have him, I didn't bother. In leagues I don't have him, I didn't find anybody desperate to sell him. It was just a high ankle sprain. It wasn't an ACL or something.
I got him in a Superflex league for Dak Prescott. Obviously, there was a little bit more pieces involved, but the big pieces were Dak Prescott for Saquon.
Just in case, if Barkley does sit, are you starting TJ Yeldon?
Yeah, because Gallman's still out, isn't he?
Gallman is questionable.
Yeah, so he's probably out. No, I probably won't start.
That's not true. Gallman might play. I'm just asking. If Gallman and Barkley are out, you're definitely starting TJ Yeldon,
no,
right?
No.
No?
No.
There's no one else there. And it's the Cardinals.
You don't think they'll just pass more?
I like to see them try.
The Cardinals give up tons of points to tight ends.
But the Giants pass game doesn't exactly, I don't know, I'm not going to put a lot of eggs in that basket.
Cardinals eggs.
Look at that.
You didn't even make the connection.
I didn't even know I did it.
No, I'd fire up whoever starts at tight end or slot wide receiver.
Speaking of wide receivers.
Golden Tate.
Yeah, Golden Tate's a must start.
If Shepard ever comes back.
Amari Cooper has been diagnosed with a bruised thigh. The injury isn't thought to be a long-term concern. There's no structural damage, but Rappaport confirmed that the contract year receiver is in terrible pain. If Cooper can't go against the Eagles next week, it would put more work on the plates of Michael Gallup, Tavon Austin, and Jason Witten, among others. It would also vault Cedric Wilson, who had a season-high 50 snaps in Week 6, into three wide sets. Matt, we'll learn more this week if Amari sits, you're starting Gallup, but are you considering Tavon or Cedric Wilson?
Did you watch the game?
No, I just the highlights. I can't stand to watch an entire Cowboys game anymore. I just can't stomach it.
He was targeted 6 times, 5 receptions, 64 yards. He still got that burst. I mean, Tavon Austin, sorry. I mean, if I'm desperate, he'd be the one I start. And I'm firing up Witten if I'm in a pinch. Tight end is so ugly after tight end one that it's just not like you could gamble there. You know who the tight end one is?
Who's that, Matt?
It's your boy. Austin Hooper is the tight end one.
Yeah, he's put together a ton of double-digit performances, and I mean he's solid. That was a nice little wasn't he a hot take last year?
Yeah, right. Last year. Yeah, for both of us, we agreed on it actually.
Yeah,
Tight end is so bad. Zach Ertz scored 7 points this week and moved up in the rankings.
Right. And Zach Ertz was actually outplayed by Dallas Goedert. Yeah. Or Goddard, whatever you want to say.
Goddard. Yeah.
If you're French, it's Goddard.
If you're French, it's football. Wait, no. Is that right?
Hunter Henry caught 8 of 9 targets for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Chargers' Week 6 loss to the Steelers. Henry was expected to function in a limited capacity, but wound up dominating for most of the evening. Henry appeared to be very close to 100% with no notable signs of injury. Is he back to tight end one territory for you?
Yeah, we just talked about how ugly tight end is. If you've got a guy that's going to get receptions, yep, fire him up.
Let's keep the tight end train rolling.
Yes.
The Seahawks believe Will Dissly tore his left Achilles tendon in Sunday's win over the Browns. A Monday MRI should confirm the worst. It's not surprising after Dissly went down in a heap untouched. I believe he is IR
eligible
in at least my fantasy football leagues.
It'll end his season.
Or my fantasy leagues, MFL, whatever.
MFL?
Yeah. Let's see. This is truly the worst possible news for a player who missed all of 2018 with a torn right patellar tendon, already limited athletically. 23-year-old Dissly has now suffered what can be career-ending injuries to both legs. As for 2019, the Seahawks will move forward with Luke Wilson as their primary pass-catching tight end. That's scary. Dissly has 4 scores this season and caught 23 of his 27 targets. Should Dissly governors go pick up Luke Wilson or look elsewhere?
Luke Wilson's not a bad play. How bad did the Seahawks feel now trading Nick Vannett?
Vannett is...
Vannett produced last year.
Yeah.
No, could this open up more opportunities for, like, David Moore?
You know, I was thinking the same thing. It might open it up a little bit, but I don't know. I think they're going to try to force Luke Wilson in that spot this week. So if there ever was a time to start Luke Wilson, it's this week. And I don't know, though. I just don't see him as more than just kind of a spot start kind of guy.
Yeah, you're not going to rely on him. I don't think. I mean, tight ends in Seattle have come out of nowhere before. I mean, Luke Wilson, when he broke out, was in Seattle. So then he went to Oakland and was on Hard Knocks, and he's a different cat.
Speaking of tight ends, again, Patriots signed tight end Ben Watson.
Re-signed.
38 years old. The Patriots previously released Watson last week, but backup fullback Jacob Johnson's trip to the injured reserve vacated a spot for the vet to re-sign with the team. He made 2 catches on 3 targets in the preseason. Matt, are we interested in Ben Watson at all?
I'm more interested in Robert Kraft like begging Gronk to come out of retirement.
Yeah, and Gronk shut that down today, too. I'm not sure if you've seen that.
Oh, news. I did not see that. What did I miss?
He pretty much came out and said he's not coming back. It's done.
He just said the other night on his Thursday night football that there's always a possibility.
Sure. With the amount of weight loss and the announcing gig.
Can I quote him?
Sure.
I just have to be feeling it big time to come back.
Yeah, he's out.
No, he's not.
He's out.
He's coming back. He's coming back for the playoffs. Do you own him anywhere? I own Gronk in a couple places. That's probably the only reason I think he's coming back.
Right.
No?
I don't. If I did, I would trade him for anything I could get. He's not coming back. I really believe he's not coming back. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport confirms that N'Keal Harry, thank you, probably, has resumed practicing this week. It puts Harry on track to return when first eligible in Week 9. The first rounder showed promise before injuries hijacked his summer. Undrafted rookies Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski?
Probably.
Were forced to play heavy snaps against the Giants with Philip Dorsett and Josh Gordon, both ailing in Week 6. Obviously, Matt, Harry isn't somebody you're going to go and pick up off your waiver wire in Dynasty Leagues, but what are your expectations from Week 9 forward for Harry?
I feel like this is going to be a hot take, and I'd probably get thrown back in my face like 6 weeks later.
Most things do.
Yeah. I don't think N'Keal Harry is the best rookie wide receiver they got this season. I think Jacoby Myers is gonna take the spot and be fine. I mean, did we forget that N'Keal Harry was being outplayed in the preseason by other undrafted rookies on the team?
Sure. It's the preseason, though. It's the Patriots. Don't show you anything in the preseason.
He's 8 weeks behind. He's coming off of an injury. I think this is if you can get N'Keal Harry and you're playing for next year, get N'Keal Harry and play for next year because he's not helping you this year.
Okay.
Is that hot?
I don't know if that's hot. I don't have high expectations. I own him in a few places.
Yeah, he's. I mean, I don't think he averages wide receiver three numbers. I don't think you could ever start him as a flex. There are other guys out there I would rather have. Preston Williams.
Adrian Peterson rushed 23 times for 118 yards in week 6 against Miami. The Redskins stuck to their plan of featuring Peterson, who had a season high in carries. He also got involved in the pass game with 2 catches for 18 yards. Peterson ran hard and looked the best he has all season, though it came against a tanking Dolphins team. This was a statement game from Peterson after fired coach Jay Gruden made him a healthy scratch in week 1 and rarely used him in the last few weeks. With the Redskins moving to a run-heavy scheme under Bill Callahan, I have to ask, Matt, is AP a viable running back too now?
Callahan.
Hey, you said last week it didn't work.
An RB2, no, I think that's a little high. RB3 flex, yeah, they're going to run the ball. I mean, Callahan said, we're going to run the ball. I expected a big week out of AP this week, and it's here. And Chris Thompson's on the mend. So, yeah, I give me some AP.
Yeah, Chris Thompson was diagnosed today with a turf toe injury. So, I mean, he might be kind of banged up. You want to do a name game with AP?
Dude, I love a name game. We need like a name game theme song.
Yeah, we do. We do.
If anyone's listening, we're going to hit that up.
Yeah, and we'll give you like a shout out or something because that's way better than money. would you take Adrian Peterson or Carlos Hyde? Dynasty rules.
This hurts. Hyde.
Wrong. Would you take Matt Breda?
Yes.
That's correct. Jordan Howard.
AP.
This is different. Kenyon Drake.
The Dynasty rules?
Dynasty rules.
Drake. Are you agreeing with me on all these?
If you're a contender and somebody, I mean, Kenyon Drake for AP and like plus something, like a nice draft pick or something.
Second? Third?
Yeah, like a second round. Are you taking Peterson there? Are you taking the Peterson side?
I'm taking Peterson with the second, yeah. I'm not taking that because it's Peterson, no.
Okay.
You don't think Drake ends up somewhere else?
I don't know if Drake's that good.
Drake's 23, 24. He's still young. AP's 8 years older than the guy. Drake's got a lot brighter career. I'll take the points in the years, not the points now.
Chris Thompson or AP? Dynasty rules.
AP. No, that's tough.
Nah, you were right the first time.
I like pass catchers. You don't.
I don't like guys that are only pass catchers out of the backfield. If he could run, when he runs between
the tackles. He can run after he catches it.
Yeah, but when he can't run between the tackles like a traditional running back.
You're right. And he's been injured a lot. He's getting a lot of
he's banged things. Up.
Yeah. I don't know. Because when he's AP. On, man, he's on.
You take a year or two of AP over maybe 4 out of Chris Thompson. And that's if you're lucky.
Yeah, I can't argue. I mean, yeah. I mean, we could almost make a bet on it, but it's like a 5-year bet, and that's not.
That's probably the most boring bet I could possibly think of.
I can think of way more boring bets.
Tyreek Hill caught 5 of 10 targets for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns in Kansas City's Week 6 loss. It was obvious that Hill was healthy the moment Kansas City took the field as their first play went in his direction on a downfield fly route. With a team high of 10 targets under his belt in his first start since Week 1, I'd say it's obvious to downgrade Hammy Watkins, Robinson, Pringle. No?
No, I was trying to do your ham.
Hammy Watkins.
Hammy Watkins?
Yeah. I mean, it's the Tyreek Hill show again.
Yeah, he's back.
And Kelsey.
I think Mecole's going to bump up that depth chart a little bit. But yeah, it's I don't know.
He's still the third option at best.
Who?
Mecole.
Yeah, but defenses are going to focus on the other two, and the third one's going to be open.
Yeah. According to NFL Network's Ian Rapoport, probably, there is optimism that Hammy Watkins will return against the Broncos in Week 7. Watkins sat out Sunday's loss to Houston after tweaking his Hammy in Week 5, but he's trending towards a Week 7 return, even with the Chiefs playing on Thursday night.
Who cares?
Aside from a Week 1 explosion against Jacksonville, 9 for 198 and 3 on 11 targets.
When a defense was ready for Tyreek and not Hummy.
Watkins has had a pedestrian year, contributing just 167 yards with no touchdowns in his 4 other appearances. Matt, you'd have to be walking on the moon if you sold Hummy after that Week 1 performance.
Oh, yeah.
He's just completely crashed to earth. It was a one and done. He was the guy that happens every year that blows up week one and does nothing.
This is like the definition of Sammy Watkins' career. He Ouch. Plays. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
He had one good year in Buffalo. Every year after he got hurt. Hasn't done anything since. He had one good game in Kansas City. Been mediocre. Got hurt.
Speaking of one good game, did you see what the Packers game last night?
I saw, yeah.
Mr. Aaron Jones. After absolutely killing it last week, Aaron Jones came crashing back to earth this week.
Now, hey, wait. Fumbling. Dropping? Can we use other adjectives that are more appropriate to the game?
Jones rushed 11 times for 47 yards and caught 4 of 7 targets for 13 yards in the Packers' Week 6 win over the Lions. That doesn't look terrible, but
he did.
He had a nightmare evening. He lost a first quarter fumble, which was absolutely atrocious, and then he dropped a wide open, and I mean wide open, would-be 33-yard touchdown at the goal line as he ran free down the seam. Jones was then pulled off the field after the drop before Jamal Williams cashed in with a short touchdown catch. At the end of the night, Williams out-touched Jones 18-15 and out-gained him 136-60 while scoring the lone touchdown between the two. Matt, I have to ask, Jones over Williams this week versus the Raiders?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is that hot? Really?
I'm with you.
Oh, gosh. Why do we do that? We can't agree.
I'm with you.
No, yeah, Jones is still the guy. We saw what he could do against Dallas. He got benched because he had a bad game. It happens. I'm not ready to sell the farm for Jamal Williams.
If Jamal Williams, let's say, out-touches him and does significantly better, like this is 136-60 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah.
If he does significantly better than Aaron Jones against the Raiders, what does that do for the rest of the year between those two running backs?
Timeshare. Okay. Timeshare, 50-50. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean... Aaron Jones looked good. Like you just said, his stats don't look awful.
They're both system guys.
It's almost like Matt LaFleur figured out how to use a running back because his career coaching stats didn't suggest that coming in this year. I mean, yeah. It's a backfield split. But if one is the guy, if you know that Jones is going to out-touch Williams 18-12 this year, yeah, or every week, like you're going to go with Jones. It's who's going to be the guy that gets the most touches. I would think on most weeks it's Jones over Williams. Are we not going to talk about Alan Lazard?
No, we're not, because it's a one-and-done deal. He had a great game.
He's a one-and-done?
He's not, maybe not one-and-done. Maybe that was too strong. But there's so many wide receivers in Green Bay. And you got to remember, this is without Devontae Adams on the field.
Right, Devontae Adams is the one. They're looking for a two. Yeah. Could Lazard be the two?
MVS went down. MVS went down. He got rolled up on.
Yep.
I think he is the two, if you ask me. And then Lazard had to make some plays. He had to step up, and he did it. And
Rodgers?
Maybe he'll get some trust. But
went to bat for the guy. Hey, we need Lazard out here. And then he peppered him with targets.
Wasn't Lazard like a freaking sixth-round guy?
He's actually undrafted out of Iowa State.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing better than Hakeem Butler.
Yeah. Let me see that again. Let's see that again, and then we'll talk
about it. I think you see it this week.
Yeah, maybe. It's against the Raiders. Any one of those wide receivers can go off.
Foreshadowing a renegade?
Buccaneers. Maybe. Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians said Jameis Winston has a habit of trying to be Superman. Winston threw for 400 yards
Cam Newton
in London, but hamstrung the offense with 6 turnovers, including a career worst 5 interceptions. Arians said he told Winston to throw the damn ball away while lamenting the quarterback's affinity for hero ball. You're not going to beat anybody with 7 turnovers, said Arians, referring to Winston's 6 giveaways and another by Bobo Wilson, who coughed up a fumble in the loss to Carolina. Through 6 weeks, only Cleveland's Baker Mayfield has thrown more picks than Winston. That's 11-10. Matt, DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
In a 12-team standard PPR league, has Winston equivalent to a mid-second round pick in 2020? Would you sell for that?
One quarterback league?
Yep.
Absolutely.
I think I would, too.
Yeah. Superflex league. Actually, I've tried to get him in a couple. The going rate seems to be at 2021st.
I don't know the situation contract-wise for Jameis Winston.
He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Would you be shocked if I told you I could look into my crystal balls?
Wow. Wow.
And tell you that Jameis Winston is a QB2, like he's a backup somewhere, an actual QB2 next year.
And what are you asking me? If you could see that, like, what my response would be?
That's not a crazy...
Yes, it is.
Really?
He's a starter next year.
I don't see it.
He could be a starter in Cincinnati. He could be a starter...
Dude needs to hone his craft a little bit. He needs to go somewhere as a QB2 for a while and figure it out.
No, he's... I honestly think they'll re-sign him to a low-end deal because their pick is not going to be high enough to get one of those top-tier quarterbacks. And they could draft a quarterback later and sit him behind Winston, but Winston's going to be the guy there for at least another year.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned picks because this is kind of a fun note here.
Wait, interception picks?
No. If the draft were today, the actual NFL draft,
yep.
The Dolphins would have the number one overall pick. I know that's not surprising.
Tua turn the ball over.
Yeah. Then I'd be followed by the Bengals.
Okay.
And then the Redskins.
Okay. They have a quarterback.
And then the Falcons at fourth overall.
Right.
After that, you have the Jets and the Chargers. Now, obviously, these are going to change in all likelihood. Right. But there's a few teams on that list with some big, big playmakers. And a high draft pick might be all they kind of need to elevate them.
Like what?
Like, I don't know. I look at the Falcons, right? And the Falcons have a nice running back. They got a decent quarterback with Matt Ryan. They got Julio Jones. They got a great tight end in Austin Hooper. Nice key players on defense. I don't know, man. You get the fourth overall pick there.
Who are you going to add? You're not going to take a wide receiver. You got Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones.
Well, I don't
you're
know.
Not going to take. You're not taking a running back that early.
I don't know the ins and outs of the Falcons football team, but I imagine they're needy somewhere.
The Falcons are going to look for a new head coach.
Yeah, that's the thing, and. They're going to have a nice, that coach is going to have a nice first round pick to work with.
That coach right now is
defensive. And it might be a quarterback.
I was going to say, but they're paying Matt Ryan a lot. Matt Ryan's not the problem in Atlanta. Their head coach now is defensive minded. Would it shock you if they said, whatever, we're going to go to an offensive minded head coach else?
It wouldn't shock me at all.
I don't think they take a quarterback that early, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean,
I am excited for Tua to Preston Williams, though. I think that's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun,
That is assuming
combo.
That the Dolphins can lose to the Bengals.
I think they can.
I don't know. What's that, week 15?
Yeah.
The Tua Lit Bowl?
That's good. In minor news, the Panthers waived wide receiver Ray-Ray McCloud. McCloud's fumble against the Bucs sealed his fate.
Ray-Ray!
The 2018 sixth-rounder was primarily worked as a special teams guy with the Panthers, and he averaged 29 yards on 8 kick returns this year, which is pretty stellar.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So he's going to end up somewhere. He might be just kind of a name to watch in really, 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 really deep leagues.
Super-duper. Super-duper deep.
Super-duper. The Dolphins coach, Brian Flores, said that Josh Rosen is still the starter going forward. Rosen was benched at the start of the fourth quarter after throwing 2 interceptions and failing to move the offense. The Dolphins nearly rallied their way to a comeback once Ryan Fitzpatrick replaced him, but he fell short to the Redskins. So,
the awesome, awesome Redskins.
Yeah.
Where is Josh Rosen next year?
It doesn't matter. I'm out on Rosen. I'm out. I'm completely out.
I could see Rosen in Tampa.
Yeah, when they let Jameis Winston go.
If they let Winston go, I think he makes sense. I could see Rosen could go to any of those teams that take a rookie, and he can be there to help them, or he can be there to start.
Why would you want Josh Rosen to help you with anything? You've seen what Josh Rosen is as a quarterback.
Josh Rosen has been on 2 teams that were tanking, that are doing awful. He was on the terrible Redskins team or a Cardinals team that got the first overall pick. He's on a team right now that is openly trying to lose. What talent is there? There's 1 wide receiver in Miami, and that is it. The offensive line is a mess. The defense is terrible. They got 3 running backs that are putting up points. Nobody's a stud there. Put him on a team with a solid situation. I think he's a solid quarterback.
Patrick Peterson.
Oh, no comment. No.
I'm not going to. How much time do you want to spend on Josh Rosen, Matt? How much time do you want to spend talking about Josh Rosen?
More than we have.
I'll tell you what. This offseason, we'll do like a whole Josh Rosen show. Get the worst download numbers we've ever brought to DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
I bet Josh Rosen's family would
I
love.
I said, we'll give the worst
Stop
numbers.
Stop guessing. Start day. Calculating. Josh Rosen's family would love an episode just for him.
Patrick Peterson has been reinstated from his 6-game suspension. The 8-time Pro Bowler will make his return Sunday against the Giants following a 6-game PED ban. The Cardinals secondary was dreadful in his absence, permitting an embarrassing 281.2 passing yards per game. That's third worst, ahead of only Tampa Bay and the Giants. One of Tremaine Brock or Byron Murphy will lose their starting post to Peterson, who ranks 12th amongst active players with 23 career interceptions. Matt, the only reason I bring this up is Peterson has to be an upgrade over the Cardinals for the Cardinals defense, right?
Is this that IDC stuff that doesn't matter? IDP, sorry, not IDC.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No, it's not. I only mention it because, I mean, like, everybody's going to be high on starting their Giants this week. Darius Slayton is projected pretty high in, on both ESPN and MFL platforms. I've even seen Cody Latimer have a nice bump, one of his highest projections of the year. I don't know. I don't like either one of those guys against somebody like Patrick Peterson. It might just be somebody. You might want to look elsewhere. That's all I'm kind of saying.
Oh, okay.
Interesting stat line here. Alexander Mattison rushed 14 times for 63 yards in the Vikings' Week 6 win over the Eagles.
Yeah, did you watch the game?
A little bit.
Okay, he had one big play.
Yes.
One, like, 35, 40-yard carry.
Mattison only saw two fewer carries than Dalvin Cook, but he rushed for 22 more yards. Cook, however, was the one to find the end zone after Mattison set up the one-yard score by getting tackled at the one. Matt, that's pretty nice to see the Vikes trusting Mattison. Right?
He's just a change of pace guy.
He is a change of pace guy, but...
You don't need to play him because Stephon Diggs blew up. You don't need to play Cook. You play Madison. You don't get your star running back hurt.
I've said it at least twice on this show, and I think this confirms it. If Dalvin Cook goes down, Alexander Mattison is a startable dude.
Right. If Zeke goes down, Tony Pollard is a startable dude. If David Johnson goes down, Chase Edmonds is a startable. We've seen
Chase Edmonds do really, really good.
Twice now.
And we've seen, but I mean.
That's a renegade from last week. Might know what I'm talking about.
Alexander Mattison is such an underrated talent right now, and he's a good buy. If you can get him for anything less than a first round pick, it's worth it. And if you are a Dalvin Cook owner and you're rolling right now, you got that 1.10, that 1.11, that 1.12.
Why do I feel like you're subtweeting me here?
I'm not.
It sure feels like it.
I'm not.
It sure feels like I'm getting subtweeted.
Man, I'm telling you. I'd give an end of the first round pick if I was a Dalvin Cook owner to have Mattison. Hmm. I so would.
Okay.
Let's keep it with the Vikings. Yeah. We got Stephon Diggs caught 7 of 11 targets for 167 and 3 touchdowns. In the Vikings' 38-20 Week 6 win over the Eagles, after Adam Thielen's proverbial wheel was greased last week, it was Diggs' turn this Sunday. The 11 targets marked a new season high as the Vikings made it a point to get the ball in Diggs' hands.
I believe I said this. I said, Stephon Diggs' breakout game is coming. Just wait.
They even gave him a couple of handoffs, which totaled only 18 yards, but still. The Vikes play the Lions this week. Matt, DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Has Diggs worth a 1.3, 1.4 first-round pick this season? Would you sell for that?
What if I could get 103, 104 for Diggs?
Yep. Straight up.
Yeah, I think I would.
I've been on the
Diggs is better than Thielen for a long time. But 103, 104, if I'm rebuilding, yeah, in a heartbeat. Obviously, if I'm a contender, it's a little different, but... Yeah, I think Diggs is talented. I think he's the best wide receiver in Minnesota.
Oh, God.
I know. You don't agree. It's whatever. But 103, 104 in a stat class. There's just no
data to back it up. Like, if we compare stats, I'm pretty confident so far this season that Thielen's killing it.
Probably. Thielen's more consistent.
Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want in an actual NFL wide receiver?
For fantasy, yeah.
No, I'm talking actual. You keep telling me that the Stephon Diggs is better than Adam Thielen, and there's no proof to that. They play in the same offense. They're both very good. Thielen's better, though.
Thielen is Thielen better suited for the offense. I think Diggs will move on. So I'm banking on the...
Can you imagine Diggs in Pittsburgh with a healthy Big Ben?
That'd be nice.
Wouldn't that be sick?
Juju, Diggs, Deontay Johnson, James Washington. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. That's a like a fantasy, you know, matchup right there.
That's a Madden trade.
That is.
Too bad the Pittsburgh already traded 103, 104 for a defensive back from Florida or Miami. Fitzpatrick.
Lamar Jackson completed 21 of 33 passes for 236 yards.
Really good for a wide receiver.
And had 152 running back and had 152 rushing yards with a score on 19 carries in the Ravens' Week 6 win over the Bengals.
It's almost like someone had a hot take about that guy.
The 152 rushing yards are the third most in Pro Football Reference's database among NFL quarterbacks.
Weird.
Through six games, Jackson is averaging 77 yards rushing per game. The Ravens will head to Seattle for Week 6, and I don't know about you, but that's a matchup I'm going to keep an eye on.
Justin, what's 77 times 16?
I don't know.
Is that more than 1,000?
I think it's more than
1,000. It's more than 1,000. Man, hot takes are good.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you're obviously full of yourself. You're feeling good. I think we should just roll right into Rentals Renegades. What do you say?
Let's do it. Killing it. I'm killing it. Last week, Chase Edmonds and Auden Tate. Chase Edmonds put up 9, 10 points, depending on your scoring. Auden Tate put up 14. On fire. Can't believe it. Don't get the fire extinguisher yet, Justin, because I'm going to spit some more. This time, two guys from the exact same game. First up, Mark Walton, currently owned in 20% of leagues and has the best elusive score for tasers that is out there. 6 carries for 32 yards.
I
what are you doing?
I almost missed it.
6 carries for 32 yards. Caught 5 of 6 targets. Dude has a role in this Miami offense. Now, I know there's 3 running backs there. I trust Mark Walton, which is weird to say because, I mean, criminal history and everything. But I trust Mark Walton. The other side of the ball, other side of the field probably, because they're both play offense. Duke Williams, owned in 22% of leagues. Before the bye, he played 51 snaps and got Zay Jones kicked out of Buffalo. So fire up Duke Williams in a flex spot. I actually have high hopes for all of the Buffalo offense in the coming weeks. So you could grab Cole Beasley and be okay. John Brown's going to get his. But PPR leagues, you can get Duke Williams and Cole Beasley and be fine. I didn't check Cole Beasley's numbers. I assumed it was over 50, but both of those guys are guys that are going to get a lot of opportunity in the coming weeks.
Now, Matt, I got to be honest with you. I like Mark Walton as a deep sleeper kind of guy. I don't think we're going to see a lot this year, but you said you trust Mark Walton?
I trust Mark Walton over Kalen blah, blah, blah.
Walton's had 2 weeks back-to-back, two games back-to-back, I should say. Yep. Of 6 carries. And last week he got 6 targets, caught 5 of those targets, which was his numbers are definitely going up. They've improved every week. But to say you trust him, Matt.
He started this game. This last game against the Redskins, he was the starter.
Yeah, against the Redskins. And look what he did. 32 yards on the ground, 43 yards receiving. I mean, it's just not an offense that's...
Mark Walton right now is the most productive running back in Miami. He's got 5.3 yards per carry.
I like Walton. I don't know. That's a good one. Take. That's a hot take. Okay. I'm hoping you're right. I'm rooting for you, man. I just don't see it.
I think somebody told him that the other team tackles him with tasers, and he's just jukety-juking it all over the place. Dude, that's a cool story.
Cool
story. Is that
story.
Not a cool story? Dude, juke
depends
cops.
On who you, dude, it depends on who you are, I guess. But
juke cops tasers.
And for those wondering, hey, Justin, where's your wager of the week? It's on Twitter. It's on Twitter. We've been posting them every Wednesday.
How'd you do?
This week was a loss. We're now 2-3 on the season.
Negative houses.
Yep, negative houses. I'm homeless at this point. So, but we have I have a good one ready. I'm eyeing one matchup, and I think I'm gonna lock it in here pretty soon. Get that tweet scheduled out. But yeah.
Is it the Chiefs?
No.
Is it the Lions? You bet them a lot.
Hey, stop it. At Dynasty Dads on Twitter if you want to check that out. Matt, it is time.
We got hot takes?
We have to talk about our hot takes. Man. We got to update the
I
hot
said,
takes.
Don't put the extinguisher. Don't get the fire extinguisher because I'm red hot here too.
Let's see. Let's start with mine because I'm important. Sure. I said Mark Ingram was going to be a top 14 running back. And I also said that Gus Edwards over Justice Hill. Currently, Ingram is the running back 10. And Gus Edwards leads Hill 28-12, and he's gaining every week.
Yeah, that was good. I was wrong there.
Chris Godwin finishes 2019 with 100 receptions or more, and I also said that Jameis Winston hushes the critics and finishes as a top 12 quarterback.
Can he finish as a top 12 quarterback and not hush the critics?
He's trying his best, because let's see, Godwin's already almost halfway there, 43 yeah. receptions on the season, and Winston is a QB 10 somehow. Some way, a QB 10. I also said that Alexander Mattison finishes as the rookie running back 4 or better in 2019. And the rookie running backs 1 through 4 right now are Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, and Alexander Mattison. So far, so good.
Yeah.
I said D.D. Westbrook finishes as a top 24 wide receiver and higher than A.J. Green, Alshon Jeffrey, and T.Y. Hilton. DD is currently the wide receiver 44 with no touchdowns since week one. Alshon and T.Y. Hilton are obviously ahead of him. A.J. Green, who knows when we're going to see him next, but hey.
He probably outproduced DD in one game.
Did you see Alshon play this week? Alshon had some nice catches.
Dude, he tore it up.
Dude, he is so slow.
It doesn't matter.
He's so slow.
He catches the ball. That's why I have D-Jax there.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I said Justin Jackson finishes his sophomore year in the NFL as a top 25 running back. That's not happening. I also said Devontae Parker finishes in third or worse for the team in receptions. Parker is currently third on the team with receptions of 13. I said Trey Quinn finishes the season as a top 36 wide receiver in PPR leagues. He's barely top 50 in scoring, only 20 catches. That's having a rough start.
The whole Washington offense is having a rough start.
I said that Saquon Barkley takes a step back and finishes outside the running back 12. He's currently RB 35 after only playing in 3 games.
Let me stop you.
Okay.
Would you? I think I'd still take Barkley inside the top 12 right now.
Yeah, and he looked so good before the injury. I don't think that you're wrong.
Okay.
I just can't.
Okay.
He's so good.
Yeah, but you got the injury that you needed to get your outside the top 12. I still just wouldn't be surprised if he finished inside the top 12. All right, let's see.
The other ones that I had, I said the Lions as a whole completely rebound under Matt Patricia. I said Matt Stafford throws 30 touchdowns. He currently has 9, didn't throw any this week.
Okay.
I said Kerryon Johnson finishes as a strong running back 2. He's in that zone. And then I also said that Danny Amendola ends up sneaking his way into safe right wide receiver 3 flex territory. Only had 1 catch this week, so not looking good.
Yeah, that one. But 203 is not bad on that take. You had a lot in that take. I'll give you some credit there. Because the Lions look competent. Much better than they looked last year.
Well, they got screwed last night, too, because of the refs.
Hands of the face.
And that was the funniest part about that whole...
Wasn't touching his face!
That, and he's never done it in his entire career. I can't remember the dude's name. But he had never had that penalty in his entire career.
He's holding his shoulder pads.
It's just garbage. Did you see the rumor out there that some, like, big... some big gambler
on it.
Bets on that ref's
games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
And that's
not what you want to hear.
Especially now with gambling being legal most places. Mm-hmm. Sports gambling.
Lamar Jackson finishes QB 10 or higher.
These are mine, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. These are Matt's hot takes. You said Lamar Jackson finishes as a QB 10 or higher. And you also said that he breaks that 1,000-yard rushing.
Yep.
He is currently the QB 2 overall. And he has 460 yards rushing.
He's averaging 77 yards a game, which is on pace.
He is killing it. You said Jacoby Brissett finishes as a QB 2 or better, and everyone laughed at you.
Shut up.
He's currently the QB 15.
I put names to it.
You also said he was going to go over Kirk Cousins, Mitch Trubisky, Kyler Murray, Stafford, Jimmy G, Carr, Mariota.
Yeah,
I wasn't about to waste my time going through that.
He's higher
list.
Than all of them.
He's not higher than Kyler Murray.
He's not higher than Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray is currently, your next hot take, hold on. Your next hot take was Kyler Murray bombs his rookie year.
That's true.
And he's nowhere near a QB1.
Yeah.
He is currently the rookie QB1, and he's the QB7 overall.
That's right. Got time.
Right. you said Josh Gordon doesn't get suspended, retire, or take a break from football in 2019. And hey.
So far, so good.
You said that he's going to finish as a wide receiver 2.
So far, not so good.
And that he's going to be, he's going to finish ahead of Dee Dee and Jarvis Landry.
He's already higher than Dee Dee.
Gordon is hovering in top 50 territory, but he is below Dee Dee and Jarvis right now.
He's not below Dee Dee.
He is below Dee Dee Westbrook and Jarvis Landry right now.
Currently watching
not by much.
Wow.
Not by much.
Okay.
You said AJ Green will be the Bengals wide receiver one, still which I respect. And I think that is a their strongest take. Still no sign of AJ Green, though. John Ross has landed on the IR, which I think that just helps you.
Yep.
Tyler Boyd has racked up 88 points as the team's leading wide receiver, though. I think, Matt, we're getting to that nitty gritty. He has to start playing, or he's just not going to be able to
now
do
does,
it.
I think I'll still count this take if AJ Green gets traded.
Yeah, they're going to bench the Red Rocket here pretty soon.
I think they're going to trade AJ Green. I don't know where, but I think he's gone.
You said Robbie Anderson finishes in wide receiver two territory. He is currently outside of the top 50 wide receivers in PPR.
Did you see the game? Darnold to Robbie Anderson is going to be a thing the second half.
I think I'm not against it. I think you might be right. That's one that doesn't look good right now, but that might end up looking pretty solid.
I have no doubt it's coming.
You said two Washington Redskins wide receivers will surpass the 45 reception mark. That is a mark that no wide receiver passed last year for the Redskins. You said there'll be Trey Quinn and Terry McLaurin. Scary Terry.
Scary Terry,
F1. Wide receiver reception leaders are Scary Terry with 23.
Over halfway there.
And Trey Quinn and P. Rich are following with 20. So, you're right there.
Thank you.
You said Jason Witten outperforms his draft position. At the time that this was written, he was currently the tight end 56, according to whatever ADPs you were looking at. And you also said he would score four or more 10-point games. He is currently the tight end 10. And he just had a season high in receptions and yards. He's up to three double-digit games a season. Jason Witten has been Mr. Reliable. Yep. Really. If you needed some kind of points, you got it.
Tight end is ugly, and he's just there. He's top 10.
You said no rookie tight end finishes as a tight end 1, which was the top 12. Currently, let's see.
Fant is 12.
Well, hold on. One.
Oh, no. Hawk's hurt, right?
Hawk is banged up. He played Hawk is currently the tight end 14.
Okay.
And, sorry, I wasn't up to date. And, yeah, Noah Fant dropped all the way to tight end 26. So you're good there. All right, last one, Matt. Last one, then we're going to get out of here. We both picked our top rookie finishers at each position. We both said that Daniel Jones was going to be the top quarterback. That's currently not the case. Kyler Murray is actually ahead of him. I said for running back, it's going to be Josh Jacobs. You said the running back's going to be David Montgomery. And currently, Josh Jacobs is the leading running back for rookies.
It's close, right?
It is close. Still a long way to go. Injury and that whole thing gets screwed up.
Yep.
For wide receivers, I took my boy DK Metcalf. You took
Debo?
Samuel Debo.
Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel. Do that every week.
Currently, the leading rookie wide receiver is Scary Terry.
Scary Terry. Which hot take number one.
No one said
or not
that
hot take, sorry. Renegade number one.
I said the leading tight end for rookies was going to be Noah Fant.
So
you said the same, and it's currently TJ Hawkinson by a fairly small margin. So, especially after that injury. Boy, oh boy, how do you feel about your hot takes so far?
I'm right on most of them, right?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about ours. Yeah. I think we both did pretty well. I really, really, I've been patting myself on the back since week one about Mark Ingram.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I paid anything I could to get Mark Ingram in every league, and I'm so happy with it.
I think I'm happiest with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And I still think Robbie Anderson's going to come fly. I mean, dude tore it up this week. I drafted Anderson as a wide receiver to lots of places.
That does it for the show, everybody. So be sure if you want to be on the show, if you want to connect with either Matt or myself, the best way to do it is to email the show at dynastydads@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are at Dynasty Dads and Facebook at Dynasty Dads there as well. Again, this episode is brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And we will see you next week.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.